take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. We're looking for verse number 9. Acts chapter 16, verse 9. And we're growing. I'm watching people learning better how to behave during church, and I want that to continue. And so, young people, make sure that you're paying attention and that you're being quiet. Don't disrupt the people around you. And for some reason, if you're not interested in what's being said, other people are. And so, out of respect, we want to sit attentively and just pay close attention. I want you to stand with me, if you will, please. Acts chapter 16. And look at verse number 9. I'm going to read this one verse. I'll refer to 8 or 9 other verses, but I want to read this one verse to you. The Bible says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" The last two words of that verse would be the title of tonight's sermon, "Help Us." Let me pray for us. Father, bless us now. Meet with us. Lord, I want us in this church to help other people. Bless this sermon, please. Holy Spirit of God, minimize the disturbances, please. Lord, help us to want to help other people, please. And help us then to do it your way, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Those last two words, "Help us." I got very interested in those two words, so I looked them up in the Bible. And I found that the words "help us" in that order, side by side, are only found 8 different times. Joshua 10:6, it says the words "help us." 2 Chronicles 14:11, it says the words "help us." 2 Chronicles 32:8, we see those two words side by side, "help us." In Ezra 8:22, it says, "help us." In Psalm 60, verse 11, it says, "help us." In Psalm 108:12, it says, "help us." In Mark 9:22, those words, "help us." And then finally, the scripture, and listen, right over here. Hey, look up here. Now, it's the same person. You've been talking, and throughout this part of the service, I'm not trying to be mean to you, but we don't talk now. You need to be real quiet. You've got the cutest little voice. You sound like a mouse over there, but I need you to pay attention right up here and stop making noise, okay? All right. Thank you. Thanks to all of you for listening. We see here in Acts chapter 16, verse number 9, again, those words, "help us." The word "help" probably sums up the purpose of the New Testament church. We're out to help. That's what we're here for. Help us. It sums up the ministry. We are, you and I, we're to be helping people. We're to be helping God. The word "helping" would be akin to the word "serving." But "help us," someone said. They cried out, "help us." What is the bus ministry? It's a people helping ministry. We have a ministry called the fellowship ministry. You know what it is? It's a people helping ministry. We have our Flyers Club, and we have King's Kids, and we have Youth Ablaze. What is it? It's a ministry to help people. That's what it's all about. I counsel here at our church. That the purpose of that is to help people. We have a ministry called Meals of Mercy, where we provide meals for members of our church that are hospitalized and things like that. What is it? It's a ministry of helping people. Sunday school teachers, the whole ministry, it's all about helping people. Our hospitality ministry, where visitors come and we do nice things for them. What is that? That's helping people. We have a Faith Promise Missions program. What's our intent? To help people. We have a primary church. What's the purpose? To help people. What's junior church for? To help people. What's the adult choir for? It's not here so someone can show off their voice. The whole purpose is to help people. We have a Tiny Tots choir. What's the purpose? To help people. We have a children's choir. What's the purpose? To help people. We have a teen choir. What are we doing? Well, we're helping people. We have a special music ministry. Is that so that somebody becomes famous? No, that's so that people get helped. That's what it's for. We have a group of ladies. We call them the Master's Maids. They attend to the cleaning upstairs and down. What is that? That's a ministry helping people. Helping people, that's what it's all about. Folks, we all need to learn how to help people. That's what good Christian life is all about, helping people, serving people, and of course, serving God. And let me tell you something. Leaders, I want you to think about this. Leaders produce followers, but great leaders produce other leaders. And you have to understand, when we're grooming people, we're helping people. And people are watching. Did you know somebody's watching how you help people to learn how to help people? You know, word begins to get around if you help people. You know, people are attracted to people helpers. It's wonderful to get around somebody that likes to help people, that knows how to help people, that sincerely enjoys helping people. My pastor and mentor of many, many years prayed this prayer every day of his life. He prayed, God, help me to cross the path of the ones that Jesus would help if he were in my shoes today. He prayed that prayer every day. You say, why? He wanted to find the people that he was supposed to help in that day. Do you get up on Monday wondering if you could help somebody today? Do you get up on Tuesday wondering if you could help somebody today? How about Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? All the good days and the bad days. Christians are to help people. That's what we're here for. Look, if God would have wanted to, after we got saved, he could have gone ahead and take us to heaven. Why did he leave us behind? So we would do something good with our lives. And it wasn't just to save planet Earth. It's to help people. It's to help people. I'm going to make a dozen observations tonight. I promise they'll be quick. I want to talk to you about helping people. I want to tell you some things about how you can better help people. And these are, they're very down to earth, they're very practical, but I promise you, if you want to help people, there's a right way of getting that done. To every Sunday school teacher, assistant Sunday school teacher, listen to me carefully. I read a list of some of the ministries here at our church. Everybody that leads and works in those ministries that I mentioned earlier, learn the right way to help people. Listen to me. I'm going to show you some things that are important. If we're going to answer that call, help us. You know, this world needs help. They need help. And you and I as Christians, we want to answer that call. There are people out there that need help. They don't even know they need help, but they are desperate of help. And you and I need to know how to help people. Let me say this. Number one, it's hard to spiritually help lost people. It's hard to spiritually help lost people. When somebody's not saved, the main thing you need to help them with is getting them saved. Folks, you can talk spiritual things all you want with somebody that's never received Jesus Christ as Savior, and in a way, you're wasting your time. Oh, I don't mind you doing it. You can talk to them all you want about all the spiritual stuff you want, but until you get them saved, you're not being much help to them. You could educate them. They can know the entire Bible. If they're not saved, they're going to die and go to hell and be the smartest Bible thumper in hell. You've not done them a whole lot of good. So, may I say then, folks, the greatest thing a Christian could ever do is get somebody saved. You say, I would like to help somebody. Get them saved. Let them, you say, I like sharing the Bible. Then learn how to share the part of the Bible that gets somebody saved. Keep somebody out of hell. You know, did you know that if you could get one person saved in your lifetime, when they get to heaven, I'm going to promise you, they're going to be really happy with you. And pay attention, don't play, pay attention. They're going to be really happy with you. They're going to, throughout eternity, every time you see them in heaven, they're going to give you the thumbs up. Why? You helped them. You helped them. When somebody is on their way to hell, the greatest thing you can do for them is help them to get saved. And it's very hard. You have to know this, folks. You cannot help. You cannot spiritually help someone that's not spiritual. The key to being spiritual is being saved so that the Spirit of God is living within them. I've watched all sorts of people trying to help folks that are lost, trying to help them spiritually get their life together. If you get saved, you can get your life together. Anything else will be basically humanism. It'll be the betterment of the human race, but it has not got spiritual roots and energy, and salvation creates change in a life. So, get people saved if you want to help people. Number two, I need to throw this in here. You need to make sure that you keep helping yourself spiritually. Folks, if you don't stay spiritually healthy, you're not going to help anybody. In other words, you need to keep praying. You need to keep reading your Bible. You need to keep yourself in church. I've flown hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles in my day. Been all over this country. I've been out of the country preaching, preached thousands and thousands and thousands of times in little cities, big cities, but I've been on a lot of airplanes. I wonder how many times I've heard them make the speech at the beginning of the flight, and they would say, if you're traveling with a child, if for some reason there's need, we have an emergency, and they deploy the oxygen mask, they'll say this: if you're an adult, you put your mask on you first, then assist the child. And at first when I heard that, I thought, what are they thinking? Then I realized what they're saying is, if the adult does not stay strong, there'll be no one to attend to the child. The adult must stay strong, healthy, and alert so that there is someone to take and attend to the weaker one. And I thought, that's brilliant. That's right. Well, I say to everybody in here, you say, I want to help people. Then you help yourself. There's some of you in here, if you would just get yourself right with God, you could help somebody. But you got such a mess on your life. You're virtually no good to anybody. You need to get you straightened out. You need to read your Bible. You need to pray. You need to be faithful to church. Some of you, you need to get that bitterness out of your life. You're never going to help anybody with a bad attitude that you have going on in your spiritual life. So, if we're going to help people, we need to help ourselves. And that's not stinginess. Me keeping me right with God will help me to help somebody else. And if there's an emergency in life, I need to keep me right with God so I've got the common spiritual level headedness to help the people around me. I'm going to tell you something. I work very hard at keeping my spirit healthy for you. For you. I guard. You get about midway through the day on a Saturday, and I'm walking like this. I'm trying my heart. I don't want anything to soil my spirit. You say, why? Sunday's coming. People need me to be on topside on Sunday. People don't need me to come to this pulpit depressed. And I'm not real sure there's anybody, maybe other than my wife, that's really ever seen me with anything other than a relatively positive spirit in life, in the worst wars that we could go through. But I protect my spirit. I've got to keep me healthy. I've got to keep my attitude up. I've got to keep in my Bible. I've got to stay on my knees. I've got to be in church. I've got to do the right things. I've got to get the bitterness out of my life. I can't let hatred creep in. I can't hate my enemies. You say why? There's people that need help. And folks, you're never going to help people right if you don't help you. You keep you right with God so you can help others. Hey, moms and dads, let me tell you something. The best thing that could happen to your children is a revival in your heart. You say, well, boy, if I never accomplish anything for God, I sure want my kids to. The best assurance you'll have of your kids doing something great for God is that you put the oxygen mask on yourself and you become strong enough to stand for God and believe in God. And then you'll have the strength to lead your children through life. It's hard to help lost people. What we can do for them, get them saved. Then, you got to keep helping yourself, or you won't be any good to anybody else. Thirdly, when you help people, help them scripturally. Yeah, share Bible with them, but let me just mention a few things, what I mean by help scripturally. I don't think you ought to stay home from church to help people. You say, but my next door neighbor's yard needs raked. Rake it on Monday. If you're going to help people, use some spiritual common sense about it. I believe this, and I taught my kids this, and I've said this in every pulpit that I've ever been in. I really don't think, you know, somebody goes to a church that's not a church of like faith, and they say to you, look, I'll come to your church if you'll come to my church. I've never recommended that swap. I don't think you ought to go someplace that's not right with God to get them to come to someplace that is right with God. I don't think God's for that. You say, well, I'll never reach him. Well, you need to tell God that, because I think God wants you in the right kind of a church. So if you're going to help people, do it spiritually. Do it scripturally. If you called me and said, Pastor, I need your help. I need a ride to the store. You know, I'd have a hard time giving you a ride to the store if you thought you were going to carry a 6-pack of Budweiser home. I got a problem with that. Now look, if you're going to help, you need to help wisely and scripturally and be careful. We're trying to help people get better, not worse. And so, lost people, the best thing we can do to help them is get them saved. Then, I've got to keep me strong enough to where I can help people. Then, if I'm going to help, I ought to use some spiritual and scriptural common sense to help. Number four. I do want to recommend that you just keep helping your family. Now, I want you all to be careful. We've got a lot of people around here that love serving the Lord, love being at church, love being involved. But I got to tell you something, folks. Men, keep your marriage strong. Keep your marriage strong. You can have all the passion you want to serve God, but if you blow your marriage, you're going to limit how much you can help. So keep your marriage strong. Ladies, keep your marriage strong. Work at keeping your children strong. Work at serving, and hey, look, don't be so busy helping everybody else that you forget to take your wife on a date. Amen. Don't be so busy helping. Hey, look, we've got some great folks around here, bus captains, Sunday school teachers, ministry leaders. I'm going to tell you all something. You help somebody else's child 52 times a week and never take a moment to go out and do something private with your child. I've got a problem with that as a pastor. Don't be busy helping everybody else's kids and forget that you have kids of your own. I love it that you work children's church and junior church and the bus route and the kids clubs and the kids choirs. But folks, teach your kids to sing God's songs. Hey, go have some fun with your kids. Hey, and you're busy helping around the church, but make sure you don't forget about your family. That makes you stronger in helping people. So I said, lost people, let's get them saved. Keep yourself spiritually strong. Help yourself. And you'll be able to help more people. Help scripturally. Help your family. Don't miss this. Those of you that are in leadership, this is very important. Help those who help you to help others. Help those who help you to help others. Leaders in children's church, it's not just about the children. You have some workers there. You need to attend to their needs. You need to be considerate of them. That's very important. Hey, nursery workers, it's not just about the babies. Every one of those babies have a mama and a dad. And there needs to be respect and connection and explanation and kindness. Hey, bus captains, yeah, you have some riders, but you have a driver. I think you ought to want to help your driver and meet your driver's needs too. And the other workers on your route. Every Sunday school teacher. You have an assistant teacher. I know you have class members, but you have an assistant teacher. Listen to me. Help those who help you to help others. It's just a part of the building up of leadership. It's not just about the objects. It's everybody involved. So if we're going to help people, let's help that one that we're ministering to. But everybody that's helping you to help that one, if I were you, I would be willing to help them and be considerate of them and kind to them and love them and meet their needs. Let me tell you something. If I spent all my time doing nothing but attending to bus riders, this church would fall apart. But you know what? I spend time with Tyler, who's a very capable bus captain. I help the one who helps the kids. Brother Young is a very, very helpful man. I like helping Brother Young. You want to know? There's a whole bunch of people that Brother Young can help. We have to learn to help the people who are helping people. And do you know what you get a part of then? Look, if I can help Tyler, I get a part in that busload of kids that he brings in. So, look, help those who are helping you to help people. Next, some of us, me included, need to learn to help slowly. Help slowly or help patiently. I wouldn't mind patience if we could just hurry up and get it over with. Let me tell you something. You've got to let people grow. You've got to give people a chance. Sometimes, listen, when you say, let's take some young people that are in your Sunday school class, and you, teacher, you stand up and there are a bunch of new ones and you say, behave like you're supposed to behave in church. You know what some of them are doing? They're going, oh, what do you mean? I don't get it. What is that? You got to let them grow. You got to be patient. Don't go too fast with people. People get tired of me making announcements. I'll say in about 6 weeks we're going to do something. And then I'll say it in 5 weeks we're going to do something. And I'll talk a little bit about it, and then a little bit more and a little bit more. And some of you are going, let's just do it. Just do it. Well, for some of you, I could just do it today. But there's somebody else out there saying, that's scary to me. I don't get that. Is this going to change? Is that going to change? What's going to happen with that? And so I just take my time. And you say, Pastor, you're embarrassing yourself. You're repeating yourself. I'm willing to embarrass myself so that people that learn a little bit slower or they're a little fearful, I want them at ease. I want them to see it coming. I don't want it to hurt them. That's a part of growing people. Now, we believe that when we get a little baby. You get you a brand new little baby, you take your time. You don't have a baby and give them keys to the car the next week. Matter of fact, you don't even want to give keys to the car to your 16-year-old. But if you're going to help people, you got to do it patiently, slowly. Let them grow. I got to tell you this because some of you need to learn this. If you have a passion for right and a passion for standards and separation, let me explain something. You can only grow people so fast. If you go too fast and you pile on too much, you'll overwhelm them. And they may rebelliously retract. Now, I don't think anybody ought to rebel against the teaching of the Bible. But I think as one that is feeding people, I don't want to cram too much down their throat too fast. I might not be a good feeder. You got to learn how to do it. So be patient. Be patient. So I said, help slowly. I'll repeat myself. I do it a lot anyway. It's hard to spiritually help lost people. The greatest thing you can do is get them saved. Secondly, help yourself spiritually. You must keep you right with God so you can help other people. Thirdly, help scripturally. What you do, make sure it's wise. Make sure that we would want everybody to do it that way. Number four, help your family. Don't be so busy helping somebody else that you don't have time for your wife or your son or your husband or your daughter or your family. Then help those who are helping others. You might think, well, David Steed, boy, he'd do anything. Earlier, I needed a bus driver. David's hand, go right up. And Preacher Croom, we know this. He'll do anything. The guy's got a servant's heart. Well, let me tell y'all something. If he ever needs help, we ought to jump on the bandwagon and help that guy. Why? Because he's so busy helping people. Help the people that are helping people. Then help them patiently, slowly. Let people grow. Number seven, help kindly. Help kindly, gently. Now, if you were here on Wednesday night, I taught a lesson about our relationship with the scorner. And that's someone that is rebellious and they're misbehaving. And I told you that there's a bit of a toughness and assertiveness that goes along with that. But folks, most all the time, while we're helping people, we're to be kind. We're to be gentle. We're to be affectionate. There's a right and a wrong way, a loving way. You can help people. You don't have to be rude. You can help people. You don't have to be mean. Listen, those of you that feel strongly, like I do, about standards and convictions and taking a stand, you don't have to be a jerk to take a stand. You don't have to be mean and nasty at people while you're taking a stand. But we've got to learn, if we are going to help people, you need to do it kindly, very kindly. I think the time that I am least most kind is when I am most productive. When I'm wanting to get something done, my wife would tell you, she and I communicate differently. My favorite word is, what's the bottom line? What's the bottom line? I don't care what color it is, what's the bottom line? I don't care how it tastes, what's the bottom line? I want to get this done. I want to get it done now. I have a course of events. There's going to be things accomplished today. And she would tell you, we could be having a rosy day, and when I kick into production mode, all of a sudden, she's thinking, oh, brother. I tend to get unkind when I'm in a producing mood because I want to get the job done. And I want to get it done now, and I want it done without excuse, and I don't need no whiny babies, I don't need any cry babies getting in the road. I'm going somewhere, and get out of my road, I'm coming through. I got to be so careful. That comes so natural for me. I have to work at it. Now listen, if we're going to help people, we've got to be careful. When I have to talk to myself. And it's very boring sometimes, but I have to talk to myself and I'll say, okay, you want to get something done, but you're going to have to restrain yourself a little bit because you can get mean. And I don't mean to be mean. I mean to go forward. I mean to accomplish. I mean to achieve. I mean to fulfill. But sometimes my personality at that moment, I can become like a drill sergeant, and I'm thinking, let's move, let's get it done right now. Move. I coach 54 different soccer teams. I know how to blow a whistle. I know how to throw a fit. I know how to run you around the field. But I have to be so careful that moment. Now listen, while we're helping people, we've got to keep control of our drive and our determination. Hey, there's no such thing as a disposable person. We're not to run over everybody on our way to where we're going. You say, but I want to achieve. Well, the greatest achievement is treating people right. That's really the greatest achievement. Number 8, help people confidentially. Help people confidentially. I'm not for what I call prayer gossip. I was talking to the men, and what a great crowd we had at the men's prayer breakfast yesterday morning. Great crowd, great spirit. But I told the men, I said, you know, I just don't think it's wise sometimes to go around the church asking people to pray about certain private issues. That turns into gossip. You're talking about things that don't need to be talked about, and things that you spread things around that shouldn't be spread around. So if you're going to help people, learn some confidentiality. Learn to respect them. Watch testimony gossip. You're testifying about something or testifying about someone, but you reveal something that's just inappropriate, that hurts instead of helps. Hey, nobody wants their business, especially their struggles, their sins, or their shortcomings. Nobody wants that telegraphed. Kids know what a telegraph is. Okay, let me put it this way. Nobody wants their hardships text all over the place. People come to my office for counsel. Here's what I do. I'll pull out my pen and I'll pull out a 3x5 card. I jot myself a note or two. Here's what happens. the minute they're gone, I take that note, I tear it up into little pieces, I throw it in the trash. I've done it over and over and over again. You say, why? I don't want anybody to know what was said. That's nobody's business. When you come to see me, I want you to know that you have the confidentiality of your pastor. So you know, I don't talk to Mrs. Owens about what we talk about. She's not my assistant pastor, but that's not her business. Number one, I don't want to soil her spirit with it, but you deserve confidentiality. I don't go tell Brother Edwards what you and I just talked about. Now, you rob a bank, we're going to have to tell somebody about this. And don't forget the tithe. But listen, when you come see me and I'm helping you, what we discuss, I respect you. And you know what? I would like you don't have to respect Jeff Owens, but I would like for you to respect the position of pastor. And folks, sometimes you get to helping people and somehow they've trusted you a little bit. But before long, you're running home and telling your wife or telling your husband or telling everybody to pray about it. We're going to testify about it. I'm going to put that on Facebook. And before long, you know, nobody's going to trust you. Man, I don't want to talk to you. You can't help people if you're a blabbermouth. In innuendo or in any other way. Look, let me warn all of you. I can help you. You're all going to find out when there's a catastrophe in your family, the first thing I'll say to you is be quiet about it. Don't go telling everybody about it. Because the more people you tell, the more it's heard, the more it gets spread around, and the harder it is to heal. And I know what I'm talking about. You say, well, who do I talk to? Well, you could try Jesus. And if you trust your pastor, you could come. And I might not be able to fix everything, but I can coach you through in the right ways of at least attempting to get it fixed. But the more people you tell, the worse it gets. And that's because the devil multiplies the negative. That's what he does. So if you want to learn to help people, you've got to learn some confidentiality and some propriety. Look, you're a bus captain. You go and visit at somebody's home. And you know, you've seen a husband and wife on the bus route fussing and fighting. You don't need to stand up on your bus route and preach a whole sermon about husbands and wives ought not be fussing and fighting on your bus route at 2:00 in the afternoon on Smith Street. You're not helping. You're misusing your ability to help. You're advertising, and sometimes that comes from vanity. You want credit. You want to be involved. You want everybody to know that you know something. Well, look, if you'd like credit, why don't you get it with God and stop trying to get it with man? Let me move on. I've got a couple more, and I don't want to keep you late. We'll be out of here by 10. Number 9, I'll teach this. I'll teach it quickly. Some of you, it will not apply, but helping people well publicly reduces you having to help them a lot privately. Let me explain that. I constantly try to help you publicly. We don't just take verses of the Bible, read them, and scream about them for a couple minutes. I'm all the time teaching you how to solve problems, how to live, how to fix things, what to do to keep bad things from happening. It's practical, down-to-earth, everyday living. The more of that I do, the more I help you. And by the way, the more I can help you publicly, the less embarrassment to you if you have to come see me privately, because nobody really wants to go to the pastor and talk about a problem. They don't really like that. But because I love you, I try to help you get through your problems, and I teach it publicly. I'll tell you also, when I teach something publicly, I throw something out there and I teach it publicly, you all get to absorb it. You all get to sit there and look at me and say, yeah, that's good, preacher. That's good. I agree with that. And you know what? What's really going on in your heart, nobody knows. And you don't, if you've got that problem that I'm trying to fix, you're not going to tell anybody. You're not saying, yeah, that's me. I needed that. You don't say that out loud. But in your heart, you're saying, yeah, that's me. I needed that. Thank you, Brother Morgan. But let me tell you this, when I do that publicly, it's so much better for all of our relationships. Because I'll tell you, when we end up talking person to person, it gets so much more tender. It's so much scarier. And by the way, it's so much more personal. That's tough. So the more I can solve problems publicly, the better off we are. Now, don't for a moment, don't hesitate. If you need my help privately, I will help you. I want to help you. I love helping you. That's what I'm here. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to help you. But I'm teaching all the leaders now, I'm saying to you, if you can help them publicly, You're going to save face for some people privately. Listen, if I could teach you how not to have to file bankruptcy and I could do that publicly, you'd be so much better off than for you to have to come in private and say, yeah, I'm bankrupt. Because that's embarrassing. Oh, now God can get us through that. We can make it all the way through that. But if you let me help you, I might be able to keep that from happening. I help a lot of people through that mess. But what I'm telling you is, if you help publicly, there's just there's something that makes things smoother, so it doesn't have to become a private thing. Let me move on. A couple more. Number 10, help cautiously. And I think maybe the word is humbly. I want to encourage you. We've got a lot of good people here. We've got a lot of smart people here. But I want you to be careful. Sometimes there's counseling sessions and situations maybe you just shouldn't get involved in. Here's going to be the hardest thing for some of you if you're vain. One of the hardest things for you to say is somebody comes to you and they reveal something to you that they need help with. It's going to be hard for some of you to say, I probably shouldn't talk to you about that. You should probably go see pastor. Now, some of you, if you're helping people, you'll need to say that someday. Instead of being vain, thinking, oh, I got the answer. They come to me because they trust me. I'm really something. That may not be the case. It may be God sent them to you because he wanted you to have the good sense to say you might need to see pastor with that. The best person to counsel marriages in this church, you're looking at him. And I'm not trying to be vain. I've counseled thousands of marriages. I know 9 couples that had divorced that I've had the privilege of remarrying. Now, you check on that. That's not the easiest thing in the world to see happen. 9 of them. I know how to help marriages. I know how to help people. I'm not trying to be vain. I'm not trying to be cocky. It's just been my privilege through the years. But I'm going to tell you, you need to be careful thinking you are going to solve certain types of problems. You need to know what you are capable of. You need to be very careful not stepping beyond what you ought to be counseling. And sometimes our vanity keeps us from doing it. Someone comes and says, I need help with my finances. So you decide you're going to tell them what to do. Well, I'd like to know what yours are like. But because your ego is out of hand and they ask you, I'd be careful. Somebody came to you to get help with their marriage, but yours is a mess. Might not be a good idea for you to be throwing your hat in the ring. And I'm not telling you you can't help people. I am just saying do it humbly, do it cautiously. Don't bite off more than you can chew. And remember, sometimes there are people that know better how to handle certain things. It might be better that you send them that direction. Understand something, folks. You helping someone else to make a wrong decision could cost them their marriage, it could cost them their child, it could cost them their finances, it could cost them their life. This thing of helping people, it's not a game. Don't experiment on my people. Don't experiment. You know that I've been doing what I do since I was a 16-year-old boy. I'm 56 years of age. And you'll think this an exaggeration. I'm sure I've had over 100,000 counseling sessions in my day. Before I came to this place, I was averaging 160 appointments a week. That's just personal counseling. So I've been doing it a long time. You sometimes need to let me help. There are times when you need to send people my way instead of you wanting to run with the ball. And that can come because of arrogance. And there's some of you, you'll help people and you'll do fine. I'm not telling you you can't advise people. There will be times that you should. But I would just warn everybody here. Do you know there are times when I have to say, I'm sorry, I do not know how to handle your situation, but I know somebody that can. And I'll get you to someone that will know how to handle that. Let me give you 2 more and we're finished. I'm going to recommend that everybody here learn how to help people as you walk in the Spirit. God never intended for carnal people to be counseling and carnal people to be leading. And that means you're in the flesh. Parents, let me give you the best advice you ever get. Get filled with the Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit. Make you the best dad you could be. Make you the best mom you could be. If I said, folks, what do you want in a pastor? You'd say, I want him to be filled with the Spirit of God. And I want him to let the Bible be his guide. You know something? That is the best thing you could do as a business owner. You could let the Bible be your guide and you could be filled with the Spirit of God. You know what would make you the best mother on the face of the earth? That you are in total surrender to the Word of God and that you walk in the Spirit of God. You know what would make you the best dad in the world? That you are totally surrendered to the Word of God and that you walk in the Spirit. You want to be the best leader you could be? You be what the Bible would have you be and you walk in the Spirit. But when we go to helping people and we're in the flesh, that we are shortchanging them. You say, well, what should I do? You go back to helping yourself. You get yourself strong, and then you'll be a better servant to other people. Very, very last point. We'll be done and on our way. I think if we're going to help, the cry came, the Macedonian call, as we call it, eight other times in the Bible. Help us! Help us! Learn to do this. Help so that you are giving, but don't help to get. Helping is to be selfless. Helping is not to be stingy. Don't help people to benefit you. You're not supposed to help people so you can get a trophy. You expecting to get something out of it, you're doing it for the wrong reason. See, it's not... And every leader here, it's not what you can get out of people. That's not the ministry. It's what can you put in to people. You know, I don't pick Sunday school teachers to see what I can get out of them. I pick Sunday school teachers to see what we can put in them. Do you know who grows best in my church? The ones that are busy teaching Sunday school. The more someone gets in the Bible, the better the Christian they become. Say, did you pick me to be a Sunday school teacher? See what I could produce? I picked you to become a Sunday school teacher. See what God could do with you. I'm trying to get something out of you. I'm trying to put something in you. We're not trying to get you to give something. We're trying to give something to you. And if you want to help people with the sincerest approach, don't do it to get something. Do it purely to give. And I promise you, you won't walk away disgusted and disappointed. If you're giving because it's right to give, you can have control of your joy. But if you have to get, you don't have control over that. You're going to be disappointed sooner or later. So these people cried out, help us. Help us. Every ministry here, it's all about helping God, helping people. Help the lost by getting them saved. Help yourself by keeping yourself right with God. If you're going to help, help scripturally. Help your family. Don't be so busy helping everybody else that you don't help your own family. Help those who help. Help those that help others. Help patiently. Help kindly. Help confidentially. Helping well publicly reduces the private helping, which sometimes can get a little tense. Help cautiously and humbly, help in the Spirit, and help to give, not to get. When I seen the words, help us, I thought, well, if we're going to help, it'd be good if we kind of had an idea how we're going to get it done and what to do to get that done. I think we're a church that enjoys helping. These guidelines will make us a church that is even better at helping people. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you ought to get born again. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're here tonight and you have been saved recently, but you have never made that public, you come, we'll help you to make that public. Name takers, I'll need you to be ready to help us tonight. How about it, Christian? Do you need to help someone? You know, some of you, you've got to get you straightened out so you could go help somebody else. Let's answer the call. Help us. Who here tonight would say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart tonight in the sermon. I've learned something. I've been challenged. I think I can be better because of it. God specifically pointed something out to me that I need to work on. Would you raise your hand and let God see it and say that? I want to help people. I want to help in God's way. You may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. Maybe you need to come and get on your knees and say, God, I want to be a better helper. God, I need help in my own life so I can help more people. If you need this altar, you'll be welcome to come. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you're a name taker tonight, I know we'll have a couple of names that we'll need to attend to, so I'll need you to be ready to help me. Help us, they said. Help us. They said it in Joshua 10:6 and 2 Chronicles 14:11, 2 Chronicles 32:8 and Ezra 8:22. Help us. Psalm 60:11 and Psalm 108:12. Help us. Mark 9:22. Acts 16:9. Help us. Lady Mrs. Hollander, you can come over here and help Brother Uriah. Help us, they said. Brother Steed gave an illustration tonight in King's Kids and was talking about how that two friends spend a bunch of time together. One's saved and one's not. One dies and goes to hell, and their friend never told them about salvation. He said, is that really friendship? They all said, no, it is not. That's not friendship. Folks, let me tell you something. A lot of you have a lot of acquaintances, a lot of people you spend time around. You need not be afraid. You need to tell them about Jesus. The greatest thing you can do to help a lost person is get Jesus Christ to them. We need to help people. Help people by getting them saved. Help people by keeping yourself right with God. It may sound stingy, but I'll tell you, I want to really work at trying to keep me on track for God because I want to be able to help people. And if I can keep me right, maybe I can help somebody. If you need the altar tonight, you come. Help in the Spirit. Help to give, not to get. Help humbly. Don't take on things that you shouldn't be involved in. You'll hurt somebody that way. Help them patiently. Help them kindly. Help them confidentially. Acts 16:9 is used a lot with missions. There are people all around the world that are crying out, help us. Help us. But folks, though you and I, we may not go to a foreign field, there are people in our area that are crying out, help us. Just like we ought to keep our eye on the need around the world and getting the gospel around the world, we better keep our eye on our neighborhood and our city. You can't pay someone to go do your soul winning and to do your helping for you. There's helping you're supposed to do. Learn to help. Learn to help. Guard your family. Guard your spirituality. Then reach out and start helping people. Do it kindly, compassionately, sincerely. It's going to take just a moment or two for the invitation. We need people to have time to be dealt with. Everybody that leads a ministry here, it's really not all about the title and the ministry. It's about the people. Thank God for our clubs, our choirs, and all of it. But let's not let the organization become the issue. It's the people. That's what the organization is for. It's like this building. This ministry is not all about this building. It's about these kids on their knees, these adults on their knees at the altar right now. That's what it's all about. Thank God for the nice building. Thank God for all the equipment that we have around here. But it's not about equipment. It's about people. It's about the lives of people. Another time through the song, if you will, Rachel. Whisper a prayer. Someone is learning something about salvation. another time, will you, Rachel? Any of you been around long enough to hear, think back when the preacher say, give us one more verse of that invitation song? Somebody's still getting saved. Somebody's still being dealt with. A lot of churches, they don't even have invitations anymore. They would have been on their way in and out. But we're helping people. We're helping people. Keeping people out of hell. Changing lives. Trying to do what Jesus came to do. The Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. What was he doing? Helping people. Helping people. That point about helping the helpers, a big deal. A big deal. Assisting those that are assisting people. I promise you, Rachel, one more verse and we'll be done. Give us the verse. One more.